Welcome to PMP Network.
Thank you very much.
Well, you've had an interesting life story so far. Let's start at the beginning, when you were born.
Okay. It'll be a long one.
It was a lovely day. So you were actually born and raised in Florida?
No, I was actually born in New Jersey, but I was raised in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Dad was in showbiz?
Yes.
He was a, what, comedian?
He was, he was a singer, comedian, actor.
Really?
Worked with Shecky Green and did a lot of nightclub performing.
So I guess showbiz in your blood?
I think so, absolutely. Yeah. My mother danced, so it kind of got something in my blood.
No, but I understand that when you told your dad that you wanted to get into showbiz as well, that he pretty much told you to go take Shakespeare lessons?
Well, he thought that that would be kind of a good training ground for me. So at 13 years old, I had a private acting coach come to my home, like on a Saturday, and give me Shakespeare lessons, because he thought, you know, if you can do Shakespeare, you can do anything. And at 13, I was so not into either private lessons or Shakespeare, and I just dreaded it, and I hated it, and I think after a couple of weeks, the teacher did too, and pretty much told my dad, I don't think this is going to work out.
Yeah, so, it's kind of almost, at age 13, Shakespeare's kind of punishment.
It was. I mean, any kind, I think, of anything on a Saturday is going to be punishment, you know, other than, you know, go play. Mm. And I just could not get into it. I didn't understand Shakespeare. I didn't want to memorize monologues. You know, that whole thing, it was horrible. So, and I was too afraid to say something to my dad, so the teacher finally said something, and we stopped the classes.
So when you were going to high school and stuff like that, did you still have the same kind of dream of showbiz?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, all I wanted to do. I was a thespian and involved in the drama club, and, you know, pretty much that was, you know, my whole life.
Yeah.
It was really the one big interest that, you know, could sustain me.
Many people have that same dream, but yep. they don't act on it, and they don't get some of the necessary tools. I guess the biggest tool you got was the joining the Groundlings probably really trained you the best, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, just in terms of finding what I do well and finding, you know, what works for me. And, you know, that was, you know, such a great training ground for everything that I do. So, yeah, coming out here and getting involved with them was the best thing.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you've been in the business for a long time, but the Austin Powers movies really kind of put you in the spotlight.
Yeah, that was kind of the one that really got me out there. Thank God to Mr. Mike Myers, my hero, who gave me the opportunity and the chance to do what I do and be in a hugely hit movie. So that kind of, started me off, which was, like, the most fun I've ever had.
Yeah, Frau was an interesting character, too.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think, you know, certainly between Mike's writing and vision and whatever I brought to it, it kind of worked.
Mm. And it actually developed quite a bit for the second movie.
Yeah.
In terms of some of the things that were going on between you and Dr. Evil.
Oh, we like that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a plan for part three?
Well, certainly nothing's been, you know, contractually signed, and there's been a lot of hubbub. I would assume there will be a three, just because, obviously, of the, you know, certainly the demand out there, how many people would love to see it, and Mike loved doing it. So my, you know, I just would think definitely there will be.
And you'll be in it.
I hope so. I didn't die. That's the only thing I looked at.
That's a good thing. If you didn't die, then you got a chance in the next movie.
Absolutely.
And if you did die, you still got a chance.
I can come back and do anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you went to the Groundlings, you were actually in the same class as Kathy Griffin and John Lovitz, right?
Right.
Yeah. They both have done quite well in their lives as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and very talented, both of them.
Absolutely.
Was John as wild in class as he seems to be in real life?
He was pretty amazing, you know. He was definitely a funny man, very out there, very aggressive. You know, he certainly was very different.
Mm. And Kathy?
Kathy was great. I mean, you know, she, a really funny, very quick lady. I mean, just, you know, had comebacks for everything.
If you were like, and I know you were a teacher, so we'll talk about that in a second, but if you're looking at the whole class, were there kids that didn't make it that you thought would?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a couple of people that you root for, and still there are people in the Groundlings or people that I worked with that I'm still rooting for that I think are incredibly and extremely talented that just haven't had their chance or their break yet. So absolutely.
So when did you get to start teaching over there?
Wow, I was teaching for probably about, 9 years. 10 years or something once I became a Groundling, and I had a full-time job at in an office, and they let me go because I was going out on too many auditions, and I came to the Groundlings, and I was just like, what am I going to do? And the woman, Cynthia Seghetti at the time, who was running the Groundlings, the school program, said, why don't you teach? And I was petrified. I thought, I could never get in front of everybody and do that. And she's like, yes, you could, I'm telling you. So she really encouraged me to do it. And I did it, and I loved it.
And you had some pupils that have gone on to big and better things.
Absolutely. I had Sherry O'Terry. I had Chris Kattan on both, you know, on SNL. Lisa Kudrow I had when I was directing the Sunday Company. I've been around some incredibly good talent.
You know, it's interesting. I know quite a few people who have tried to get into comedy. Some incredibly talented. Many have moved to Chicago to try to get into Second City and some of these other groups that are around. And it's very, very tough to break into.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole business is tough. I mean, just bottom line, it's, it really is kind of a lucky thing that you fall into because there's so many talented people that just, you know, but like I said, have not gotten that special break yet. And it's just doing what you do and believing in what you do, you know, certainly sticking through it, through the ups and downs. And I'm still doing it. I'm certainly, nothing's guaranteed for me. I don't have my own hit show, and even if I did, I mean, you know, it could be gone tomorrow.
Are you working on any pilots or anything, or any ideas?
No, not right now. Things are just starting to pick up in the biz out here. And I was working back-to-back for such a long time, it's kind of a nice break for me, so I have a 5-year-old son, so I get to be with him. Yeah.
How is Max doing?
Oh, he's great. I think he just woke up, and we're going to get ready for school soon, and he's the best thing in the world.
I have a 6-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son, so I understand.
You, yes,
it changes
you do.
Things around, but it changes them way for the better.
Oh, best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah. We were talking about getting in the business and succeeding, and one of the things that helps in this business, as any other business, is knowing people. And I understand that actually the Austin Powers thing came around through your association with Julia Sweeney.
Because Julia, you know, worked with Mike on SNL, and we were doing an improv show at the Groundlings, and so she brought him aboard and you know, work out with us, and I loved it. I just had the best time. I thought he was wonderful. So every time he came back to perform, I would beg the director to please let me be in the show. So I kind of got a rapport with him, and I think it was sort of mutual admiration for each other's work, and so that led to then the audition for Austin Powers.
And I understand the audition didn't go as well as you would have wanted.
Well, that's just me. I think that. I just, you know, get so nervous at auditions, so I think I do horribly when I walk out. So I was just so nervous about it, and I wanted it so badly that, you know, I just thought, I probably blew. And then I didn't.
Now, from the first movie to the second movie, your role was pretty much expanded a bit.
Right.
And I would assume that if there's another movie, maybe a little bit more of you will be in it?
Well, you know, you never know. I mean, I'm certainly not the star of the movie, but he gave me a nice little chunk of stuff to do, and, you know, became so pivotal as you know, pertaining to, well, Dr. Evil and Frau, and now there's this, you know, love child, Scott.
Scott, yeah.
Which I think is a big surprise to everybody. So, it'd be nice to see what family life is like with Dr. Evil now.
Now, what was Seth Green like to work with? Did you enjoy that?
I love Seth Green. We get along wonderfully. He is a very gifted young actor who is a great improviser, in fact, and he just did improv over at the Groundlings with us a couple of weeks ago, and he was fabulous, and he's just the best.
You're talking with Mindy Sterling. You know, another one of your films is out and done pretty well, actually, Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yes, I'm very glad it's doing very well on video, and I think it's very funny and very silly.
And what was it like working with Kirsten Dunst?
Really nice. I'd never met either one of them before, and I got to certainly work closer with Christy Alley, because I ended up playing her sort of best friend's sidekick, and she was very sweet to me, and we had a really nice time. And Kirsten Dunst was very sweet as well, and Denise Richards. It was fun because we got also to kind of improvise through some things too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, Kirstie has been, is I think really underestimated as an actress. You know, people judge her on Cheers and Veronica's Closet, but she's done some great films, and she's a pretty talented young lady.
Yeah, I agree. I think that she's very very fun and playful, and I'd like to see her do more stuff.
Talking with Mindy Sterling, and we mentioned earlier about your dad being a comedian, your mom was a dancer, and you would think that maybe Mindy would have married someone in the biz, but you married a contractor, didn't you?
A general contractor, and I thank God for that, because that's the nice balance in my life.
So you think that is it easier than marrying someone else in the biz?
I mean, from what I see and hear, and my relationship, it is, just because you're not that you're really ever competing with a male figure in the business, but because of the ups and downs of it, it's just nice to have another side. He understands the business, and yet he's not consumed with it like I am, and it's another interest in your relationship, in your lives. So you don't constantly talk about that one field, acting. So I'm very fortunate. He's a really good man.
Do you are you at all limited by the fact that you have a young son in terms of like going somewhere for a long video shoot somewhere in a movie shoot, or do you try to stay local?
Well, I certainly would like to stay local. It's really hard on me when I have to go away, even if it's for 2 days. When I was doing Drop Dead Gorgeous, I was in Minnesota for 3 weeks. And, we tried to, I came back to L.A. for 1 day just to see my son, and then I had to go back, and then they came out there for a couple of days. But that was really tough on me.
That's sad. I mean, it must have been tear-jerking.
I cried like every night.
Yeah.
I really would. It was like the first time I'd ever been away from him for that long, and I don't like it at all.
Yeah, I had conferences and things to go to for radio, and had to leave my kids when they were young, and I'll tell you, that's all you think about when you're in the hotel.
Totally, when you're by yourself, I hated it, and every time I talked to him on the phone, he wasn't really talking, and he was certainly very well taken care of, but I just, my heart would just break every night. It was horrible.
Mm. So what's coming up for Mindy Sterling that we can look for?
I've got coming out this Thanksgiving is How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey.
Oh, wow.
And that was another very fun project to work on with Ron Howard directing it. I was very excited about that.
Wow, so, now what's Jim Carrey like? Is he as wild and crazy as you would think?
He's not. He's not at all. He was very, he was just there to do his work, and not as playful as I thought he would be.
Huh.
And very sort of quiet and subtle.
Now, you didn't call Ron Howard Richie or Opie, did you?
No, but every time you saw him, you did want to just refer to him as Opie.
Yeah.
He still has that Opie quality. He's such a wonderful guy. He's just like a guy. I mean, he's just not, you think in your mind he's this big time director, but when he's working with you and talking to you, he couldn't be more humane, more lovely, more generous. He's really wonderful.
And he's a guy that really has succeeded where many, many have failed in terms of being a child actor and then growing up and being a success in his own right somewhere else.
And very stable. He's got a wonderful family. His dad was in the movie. Just everybody that was associated with him were just wonderful people. His crew, just a lovely, lovely man.
Mindy Sterling, lots of luck, and we hope to see you soon in some other projects.
Well, same here, and thank you so much for having me on.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now.